Peter's hand.
Can you finish what you started all those years ago, son?
Solomon barely recognized his own voice.
I loved you. Twice you tried to kill me. You abandoned me in prison. You shot me on Zack's bridge. Now finish it.
For an instant, Solomon felt like he was floating outside his own body. He no longer recognized himself. He was missing a hand, was totally bald, dressed in a black robe, sitting in a wheelchair, and clutching an ancient knife.
Finish it!
The man shouted again, the tattoos on his naked chest rippling.
Killing me is the only way you can save Catherine, the only way to save your brotherhood.
Solomon felt his gaze move to the laptop and cellular modem on the pigskin chair. Sending message. 92% complete. His mind could not shake the images of Catherine bleeding to death, or of his Masonic brothers.
There is still time, the man whispered. You know it's the only choice. Release me from my mortal shell.
Please, Solomon said. Don't do this.
You did this,
the man hissed.
You forced your child to make an impossible choice. Do you remember that night? Wealth or wisdom? That was the night you pushed me away forever. But I've returned, father, and tonight it is your turn to choose. Zachary or Catherine, which will it be? Will you kill your son to save your sister? Will you kill your son to save your brotherhood, your country? Or will you wait until it's too late, until Catherine is dead, until the video is public, until you must live the rest of your life knowing you could have stopped these tragedies? Time is running out. You know what must be done.
Peter's heart ached. You are not Zachary, he told himself. Zachary died long, long ago. Whatever you are, and wherever you came from, you are not of me. And although Peter Solomon did not believe his own words, he knew he had to make a choice. He was out of time. Find the grand staircase. Robert Langdon dashed through darkened hallways, winding his way toward the center of the building. Turner Simpkins remained close on his heels. As Langdon had hoped, he burst out into the building's main atrium. Dominated by 8 Doric columns of green granite, the atrium looked like a hybrid sepulcher, Greco-Roman Egyptian, with black marble statues, chandelier fireballs, Teutonic crosses, double-headed phoenix medallions, and sconces bearing the head of Hermes. Langdon turned and ran toward the sweeping marble staircase at the far end of the atrium.
This leads directly to the temple room,
he whispered, as the two men ascended as quickly and quietly as possible. On the first landing, Langdon came face to face with a bronze bust of Masonic luminary Albert Pike, along with the engraving of his most famous quote. What we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. What we have done for others and the world remains and is immortal. Moloch had sensed a palpable shift in the atmosphere of the temple room, as if all the frustration and pain Peter Solomon had ever felt was now boiling to the surface, focusing itself like a laser on Moloch. Yes, it is time. Peter Solomon had risen from his wheelchair and was standing now, facing the altar, gripping the knife.
Save Catherine,
Moloch coaxed, luring him toward the altar, backing up, and finally laying his own body down on the white shroud he had prepared.
Do what you need to do.
As if moving through a nightmare, Peter inched forward. Moloch reclined fully now onto his back, gazing up through the oculus at the wintry moon.
The secret is how to die.
This moment could not be any more perfect.
Adorned with the last word of the ages, I offer myself by the left hand of my father.
Moloch drew a deep breath.
Receive me, demons, for this is my body which is offered for you.
Standing over Moloch, Peter Solomon was trembling. His tear-soaked eyes shone with desperation, indecision, anguish. He looked one last time toward the modem and laptop across the room.
Make the choice, Moloch whispered. Release me from my flesh. God wants this. You want this.
He laid his arms at his side and arched his chest forward, offering up his magnificent double-headed phoenix.
Help me shed the body that clothes my soul.
Peter's tearful eyes seemed to be staring through Malak now, not even seeing him.
I killed your mother,
Malak whispered.
I killed Robert Langdon. I'm murdering your sister. I'm destroying your brotherhood. Do what you have to do.
Peter Solomon's visage now contorted into a mask of absolute grief and regret. He threw his head back and screamed in anguish as he raised the knife. Robert Langdon and Agent Simpkins arrived breathless outside the temple room doors as a blood-curdling scream erupted from within. It was Peter's voice. Langdon was certain. Peter's cry was one of absolute agony.
I'm too late.
Ignoring Simpkins, Langdon seized the handles and yanked open the doors. The horrific scene before him confirmed his worst fears. There in the center of the dimly lit chamber, the silhouette of a man with a shaved head stood at the great altar. He wore a black robe and his hand was clutching a large blade. Before Langdon could move, the man was driving the knife down toward the body that lay outstretched on the altar. Malak had closed his eyes.
So beautiful. So perfect.
The ancient blade of the Akeda knife had glinted in the moonlight as it arched over him. Scented wisps of smoke had spiraled upward above him, preparing a pathway for his soon-to-be-liberated soul. His killer's lone scream of torment and desperation still rang through the sacred space as the knife came down.
I am besmeared with the blood of human sacrifice and parents' tears.
Malak braced for the glorious impact. His moment of transformation had arrived. Incredibly, he felt no pain. A thunderous vibration filled his body, deafening and deep. The room began shaking, and a brilliant white light blinded him from above. The heavens roared, and Malak knew it had happened, exactly as he had planned. Langdon did not remember sprinting toward the altar as the helicopter appeared overhead, nor did he remember leaping with his arms outstretched, soaring toward the man in the black robe, trying desperately to tackle him before he could plunge the knife down a second time. Their bodies collided, and Langdon saw a bright light sweep down through the oculus and illuminate the altar. He expected to see the bloody body of Peter Solomon on the altar, but the naked chest that shone in the light had no blood on it at all, only a tapestry of tattoos. The knife lay broken beside him, apparently having been driven into the stone altar rather